Our scripture reading is found in John chapter 19. If you would stand with me for the hearing of the word. John chapter 19. I'll be reading starting at verse 1 through 11. Now, where I come from, if you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to pretend like I'm home. John chapter 19, starting at verse 1. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." Never mind. The word of the Lord. See, I'm going to get it. You may be seated. I'm going to take that home. It's good to be here with you this afternoon. Thank you for the invitation. I want to thank your pastor. He is a great man. He's a great pastor. I know you know that, Park Cities, and he has become my friend, and he has a great heart. And it's good to share with you and with this church today. He asked me about wearing a robe. I told him, "You're constraining me to 13 minutes. Don't constrain me with a robe." All right, take me 15 minutes to get my introduction out. So since I'm not home, the fundamental question today is he God? The fundamental question. Is he God? Pilate interrogates Jesus. He has already interrogated him. I know these 3 days, if you have been here this week, you have seen, you have heard the first part of the interrogation. Today's lesson in John chapter 19, if you sum up the three questions, question is he God? Pilate asked him, "Where are you from?" He says, "Will you not speak with me?" He says, "Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" The fundamental question in each one of those things is he God? Where are you from? Who are you really? Are you pretending to be something that you're not? "Will you speak with me?" Pilate asks. He's really asking, "Do you know who I am? I got it like that." Fundamental question. The authority. There's a tension in this text. The tension between who's in charge. In verse 6, the tension is between Pilate and the Jewish nation, because does the Jewish nation have authority to crucify They, Pilate knows they do not. The Jews know they don't either. But they're playing games with one another. In verse 7, the fundamental question, the tension is in this, as it relates to authority, who's in charge, is the law or is the Son of God? The Jews ask, there's a law that says he who claims to be the Son of God is blasphemed. They really don't know who they're dealing with. In verse 10, the fundamental question of authority is between Pilate and between Jesus. Are you God? See, Pilate had no problem with Jesus being considered a king. There was no question there. There was no problem. Matter of fact, they brought him. He said he claims to be king of the Jews. And the Jews thought in bringing him to Pilate, Pilate would have a problem with that. But Pilate had no problem with Jesus being a king. For one, he didn't look like a king. He had not the trappings of a king. There was no army. There was no kingdom that he could visibly see. There was no visible standing army. He did not have the trappings of the king. So you know what? He mocked him. He allowed the soldiers to mock him. They put a robe on him. They put a crown of thorns on his head and brought him before the people and said, "Behold your king." Pilate had no problem with Jesus being a king. He heard with his ears he was a king, but he saw with his eyes something totally different. But Jesus acted like a king with his silence, with his words of authority, even though it seemingly he had no authority. He's standing there suffering. He is standing there being accused. He has no authority. So Pilate had no problem. But there came a turn in the story. Because when the Jews said he claims to be the Son of God, then the text says that he became afraid. And then Pilate continued his interrogation. He brought him back into his headquarters and says, "Where are you from?" He had no problem with him, Jesus, being a king. He had a problem with the possibility that he might be God. That caused him to shake in his boots. And you know what? That's our fundamental issue. Is he God? Theologically, yes. Oh, yes. We've got the theological. We know he's God. We worship him as God. But is he God? Is he God? See, we have no problem with him being a savior. There's no issue with him being a savior for us, because if you ever come to the end of yourself, you know that you need a savior. Now, somebody ought to say amen right in there. If you looked at yourself long enough, deep enough, serious enough, you know you need a savior. And we've always recommended Jesus as our savior. We have no problem because we need a savior. You know what? Some of us have no problem with him being a king. A king has authority. And some of us are willing to submit to the authority of the king of the universe. We'll obey. We'll follow to a certain point. We'll do penance. We'll do the right things before the king, as we often do before a human king. We'll subject ourselves to some extent. Yet even a king, I want you to notice, even a king is subject to custom and cultural practice. Even a king is subject to the whims of people, even to laws, even of his own making. A king is subject, even though he may be sovereign. A king is subject to the army. He may be subject to those that put him in power. There are restraints to being a king. Pilate had no problem until he recognized that there may be the possibility that he could be some kind of king. See, Caesar viewed himself as a king too. See, but when we get into him being a god, I'm sorry,
You get into being God, that changes the stature of things. That changes the nature. That's a whole other thing. Him being Savior, we want a Savior. Him being King, we want somebody every now and then to give us direction and wisdom. But Him being God is a whole other thing. Life gets messy when God acts like God. Because you don't know how God's going to operate. He's sovereign. He can do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants. And so you know what? You know what? When we start dealing with a God that we can't control, then we have problems. My question to us today, is he God? God has authority over the king. Even in a pagan culture, the spiritual authority has authority over the political authority. Who crowned the king in The Lion King? Who crowned Mufasa? The monkey? Who crowns the king, queen of England, the Archbishop of Canterbury? Political, economic, social authority, all, you might not submit to political authority, but if he's God, you have no choice. So the question before you today, and me, is he God? A Savior who died on the cross is personal. Reaches the depths of your heart, your mind, your soul, if you allow him to go there. This becomes very personal. If you allow him to be king, then his authority says as a king that he has the opportunity to rule over you if you will allow him. He has social, his kingdom has social, political, economic, and cultural implications. But then when he is God, he's sovereign. We can't control him. His ways are beyond our ways. His thoughts become our thoughts. His pathways in leading your life and directing your life is different than yours, because if you're in pain today, you know what? You want to get out of it, but God may say, stay there a little while longer. If you have struggles that you cannot fathom, you've got situations that you cannot handle, God is not always in the deliverance business. God is all can be in the keeping business in the midst of. I'm always reminded of a little story. Grandfather was asked to take care of his grandbaby. And the mother would leave, and every time she'd come home, the baby would be out and playing around. And he said, I can't keep her in the... He said, she told her father, keep him in the playpen. He said, no, I can't keep him there. He cries. He don't want to be in the playpen. She said, Daddy, don't take him out the playpen. So one day, this went on for weeks, one day she came home, and she was looking for the both of them. It was quiet. It was unusually quiet. She went into the room and she found something unusual. She found grandfather in the playpen with grandson. A sovereign God will leave you where you are, no matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult it is, because he's God, and he knows better than you and I. If he's a Savior, that's personal. We need a Savior. If he's king, you get to choose today whether you'll allow him to be king. But if he's God, you have no choice but to submit and worship. Submit